Hello, Dojo Disciples. Sean Orange here. Before we start the show, I just wanted to point out that if you have not done so, please head over to humblebundle.com to pick up the Humble Nindy Bundle. No, I didn't misspeak. This is a Nintendo-themed Humble Bundle for Wii U and 3DS, and it's full of a lot of great games. And apparently one of them has a cross-buy thing going on now, so if you get the Wii U code as part of this, you will get a free 3DS one as soon as you register. So cool. Anyway, given next week's episode, this is going to... Well, let's just say it's ironic. So you visit humblebundle.com by June 9th, 2015, and we'll cue the podcast intro.
You're listening to littlepodcast.com.
So after 2 months, it's over. Two and a half months. It's finally over. Winter is over.
Oh, I've been wearing t-shirts for a while now.
Yep. So for everyone who watched our Winter Dojo series of videos, yeah, thank you very much. We ended up releasing 11 of them.
Yes.
Which is our most active release period ever, I think.
I think so. Our last onslaught was how many videos?
That we planned for. I don't remember how many exactly. Full disclosure time, when we did our summer onslaught in 2012, the turtle tipping and the Minus Worlds videos were supposed to be part of that. But we had a little problem with one of the ones that we ended up not releasing at all, and then those just kind of got shuffled around to the following year. But this time, I mean, like we specifically planned out every one we're going to have, in the Winter Dojo, and we added one even, right in the middle of it.
Dojo Snacks, right?
Yes, Dojo Snacks. So
which did pretty well.
I know. I think you want more of those guys. So let's have more snacks. And that artwork is so adorable.
I like that.
My gosh. I got confused because like I thought like someone had tweeted it to us. So I was trying to find like who tweeted it to us for the credit, and then like I thought, well, maybe one of your students did it. It's like no, it was Sam.
Yeah.
So good. I miss those guys. I haven't seen them in a long time.
I see them every day.
I'm a jerk. Say hi for me, I guess.
I will. But yeah, everything worked out well. The order got changed around a little bit because some of the bigger videos took a bit longer.
Data recorder.
Oh, it's so long. But I don't recall any complaints about the length. I was so worried people were going to complain about the length.
It's syndication length.
Like yes,
that,
yes.
That blows me away. It's syndication length, and no one.
We'd have to edit 2 minutes from it if we put it on Comedy Central.
Oh. I don't know why. I guess we can lose some of the old man jokes.
What? Those are the
best jokes. No, that's what surprised me actually, because I had to watch that several times, you know, before we got it out, and you know, having 20 minutes to go through everything plus time to make notes and everything, it takes a lot of time, and I did not find myself bored or sick of it. So that's good.
It's good. Guess. Although if we would have put in everything for the data recorder, apparently, it would have been longer. So
God.
Let's get to it. Let's do our first Denchi mail right now.
Yeah. We were talking to our friends on Famicom World.
Great people, by the way.
I know.
Shout outs to Famicom World.
They've provided us with information in the past, lots of support, of course. And they always have great feedback, including stuff that we miss, because they quite frequently know more than us.
Yes.
So we got this message from P, who is from Sweden. The letter P, that's all. I assume he.
Swedish P. Okay.
His name is. He says, Load Runner can also save edited levels, but the save menu only appears if the keyboard's connected, so I'm sure you can use... SD stations, such devices with particular tests. So he's talking about emulators, I think.
Yep.
So they have this little discussion about how emulators don't.
Oh really no, work. SD station is it's like a little hardware add on.
Oh okay. Okay, so yep. So oh yeah, he mentions nuts and milk too. So I guess I can.
Yep.
Yeah, but he has no idea how. So, right. That, and that's something that, like, you know, we did research. It didn't come up when I was looking for sources, but if you go to the Loadrunner Wikipedia page, it's on there. So
the thing is, to find it, you would have had to know to look for Loadrunner, which surprised me because it's a third party title.
Yeah. So we say in the video, it's the only third party title. Like,
yeah, that's wrong. That's wrong. Although the early Hudson titles can almost be mistaken for first party titles as they copied the Pulse logo and everything.
Right. True.
So Nuts and Milk was the first third party game out on the Famicom. And it was followed only a few days later by Loadrunner, the second third party game on the Famicom.
Oh my gosh. So Castle Quest is the third.
Well, the thing is, Loadrunner, it seems, came out before Excitebike.
Really?
So that would make it, I mean, I'm trying to find out exactly, I'm trying to find an exact date where the Famicom Basic cartridge came out. But to tell you the truth, like, Loadrunner might be the first data recorder game.
Wow, that... Man.
I'm trying to confirm dates right now, but actually I can see why they think Nuts and Milk, because it has a stage editor in it. I was playing it recently, but it has no way to save. Like, Loadrunner doesn't seem to have a way to save either, because I was playing with the level editor. There's nothing until you hook up the keyboard.
Oh my gosh!
And then by pressing select, you bring up a menu. I did test this; it does work. And we will be making a follow-up video that I've already started recording some footage for.
Oh yeah, I saw the script, and it's so good.
it's gonna be good. But also on Famicom World, who brought up the part about Arkanoid? Can you read that?
Oh sure. I think that was Ugly Joe, or at least he also mentions it. Let me look here. Yep, you confirmed Loadrunner. So that makes five games we confirmed directly, and then
I unconfirmed Nuts and Milk.
Okay,
and I'm trying to get. Yeah, I'll go ahead. Go ahead.
He says if you have Arkanoid 2 in its controller, the one with the expansion port on it, so you can plug in a second paddle, you can try plugging in the keyboard and saving data from the level editor.
Now I have Arkanoid 2, the cartridge. I have a cartridge of it, but I do not have the extra paddle controller.
Okay.
The Arkanoid 1 paddle controller obviously wouldn't work because it was a one player thing. But the Arkanoid 2 one allowed you to put a second controller on the top, kind of like a 3DO controller.
Okay. Right.
But the thing is, yeah. But I wonder if I'm going to try it without the Arkanoid controller. I'm going to try it just play with a regular controller, but try to save through the controller port with hooked up through my keyboard. I'm going to see if that's even a possibility, because I don't see why the controller would even be necessary, as it's an optional controller and it would be used as a bypass anyway. So I'll check it out.
Oh, they updated. Yeah. As of yesterday, it looks like. And okay. So P and Ugly Joe are talking about it back and forth here. And he actually has been meaning to dig up Arkanoid to see if he can confirm it too.
Right.
But like as for Nuts and Milk, he's like, you know, he wants us to check the ROM and see if we know what the data tip recording routines are supposed to look like. And I'm like, I have no idea.
No, but I did hook up Nuts and Milk. I went with the keyboard on. I pressed every single button. So I'm going to say this one's kind of debunked, just because if they did put it in there needs to be some kind of password to activate it. And I can't imagine that they would have used that as a feature that would require such means to get there. I mean, Loadrunner, yeah, it wasn't obvious because it's not a menu option, but you know, to find it, all I had to do was press the select button. And since they're both made by Hudson Soft, I don't see why one would have and one would. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Ugly Joe, I guess, did the work already. So he says, I only see one routine in Nuts and Milk with read writes to $4016 and a standard player one controller input routine. I see no attempts to read D1 from 4016 anywhere. So now I know where to look if I ever see the ROM code. okay, that makes sense. Man, we should ask these guys. So, we were trying to confirm if Castle Excellent worked with the Turbofile.
Yes.
And so after Data Recorder, I did a stuff Ink sent me, because you actually sent me one while we were doing the editing for this. And
a boxed one, which I'd never seen before. Yes.
That was nice. And so I was looking up sources, couldn't find anything saying that it was an early access method, because it didn't use the same signatures. And like all I could figure was that maybe someone mistook this for being the Data Recorder routine instead.
It's very possible.
Because it seemed like whatever like address it talks to do the push pull read write from a device doesn't exist on it, and that makes sense for the Data Recorder because you can't.
Yeah.
Pull data from it. You just have to listen.
Yeah.
And so that's my theory as I put into the video. We can ask these guys if they can look for us. I mean, why not? Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people at this board, and they know their stuff. So
It can be a little intimidating because they know the stuff so well, but they're really nice guys too, and they're very good for helping out people. So there's a shout out, and join that board if you are interested in a lot of Famicom stuff, and they've always given us good feedback on our videos and stuff like that. Actually, can I tease some stuff, Sean? Is
sure.
that okay?
Tease some stuff.
Winter Dojo is done. Summer Dojo is coming.
Oh yeah.
Yes. I don't know how many videos it's going to be. I don't know if it's going to be as extensive as Winter Dojo was, because you got a kid on the way.
Yeah, it'll be shorter.
But there's going to be at least 4 or 5 videos, and some scripts have already been written, and some filming has been done already. And recently, I acquired a Turbofile 2.
Yeah.
So we're gonna have follow-ups to both Sean's Turbofile. Maybe we'll just reboot Turbofile. because right now I have Best Play Baseball, Best Play Baseball 90, Best Play Baseball 2, Best Play Baseball Special. We have Castle Excellent, which we're gonna get to the bottom of.
Mm.
Downtown Neketsu Monotogari. I picked up Fleet Commander, and we've got all the wizardries now, so that's more than half of the data of the Turbofile games.
Oh,
you
have Wizardry 1?
Yes, I do.
Hot damn.
And wow. Hero at Famicom Dojo is keeping an eye out for Hajino Fuin and Ninja Rahoi and Itadaki Street.
Man, you collected those way faster than we collected those Family Trainer games.
Yeah, well, the thing is, the Turbofile games, unlike the Family Trainer games, they stay in circulation, because I had no idea that River City Ransom supported the Turbofile.
I didn't either. Oh my gosh! See, it is like games people have heard
the logo,
of.
The logo's right on it.
Okay.
The logo is right on it for the Turbofile. But the thing is, most people who played it never used the Turbofile, and also your Wizardry games have battery backups.
Yeah, so that was something I wasn't sure about when I was doing the video, because it seemed like it remembered my settings, and it did. So that also explains why when I went to load data from the Turbofile, it warned you that it was going to overwrite on the cartridge. Yeah.
But anyway, I just recently got a Turbofile 2, and mm-hmm. that has 4 data slots,
mm-hmm.
which is very interesting. So it makes more sense for a game where you'd want to have multiple saves or something like that. So,
well, yeah, I guess you could just save multiple saves for the same game or different games, or
different
just buy multiple Turbofiles. They are like amiibos. Jeez, just less visually interesting. Whatever.
But so I have a lot of the games right now, and I've noticed a lot of the games do not have the Turbofile logo on. So I picked up a copy of Fleet Commander the other day, and I saw it, and I thought maybe there's a special version, like maybe there's 2 versions of it, because it didn't have the logo on, and I'm like, eh. But I booted it up, and it's got Turbofile right in the main menu, Turbofile mode.
So weird. Okay.
But it doesn't have that logo on. And the Wizardry games, do the carts themselves have it? I know the boxes.
Yeah, my Wizardry 2 and 3 carts had it on them.
I guess if we're answering Denshi Mail questions, I think one of the biggest questions we get whenever we release a video is, can you do this with an NES? Like anything we ever release. Like if it's Data Recorder, can you do this with an NES? Or if it's blah, 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 can you do this with an NES? Can you? And I mean, we don't talk about it in the videos ever because it's always beyond the scope of what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
And the answer is yes, but.
You usually can. But I mean, if you want to do something that requires the extra pins, like say you want to use the additional sound hardware in some of the later Konami, rest in peace, games, then you would need to do either some kind of modification or to hook up, like, I think there's like a little box that someone's making now, but none of these were available back in the times when these systems were still being sold.
Right. Like.
So, yeah.
As an academic exercise, you can do it, but there's just no point. There's just no point. It's interesting.
Yes.
But why? I mean.
Well, I mean.
Once you prove it works, it works. That's nice. Watch a video about it. Move on. Buy a Famicom.
For me, I don't understand why people would do the modifications unless you really, really like the toaster aesthetic.
Right.
Because, I mean...
And that's the only version that this works on, because I don't think you have the expansion ports even, like, on the boards for the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I... Because it doesn't save you money when you're spending, you know, to buy third-party stuff, you know.
Doing modifications yourself.
Exactly. You would have to do. At this point, it's cheaper just to buy a Famicom, and I guess... It's like so many people ask about... running the disk system or the family keyboard or some things like that. They are, of course, possible. You know, you have to modify. You know, well, actually, keyboard, I don't even know if that would be possible.
Well, someone did mention that there is a device that you can plug that stuff into. So like any extension port peripheral should work, except they routed. Well, this is looking ahead, everyone, but, you know, it's not like it's unknown knowledge, but the reason like the Zapper and other peripherals that use the extension port on the Famicom work on the Player 2 is that it was routed to that port.
Yeah.
So you'd have to either unroute it or something. There's a lot you have to do to the NES to make it work like a Famicom. There's just no point to do it, basically. I've met Ben Heck. I can see if he'll do an episode of his show about that.
You should get him to take an NES and turn it into a Famicom. Actually, put the NES hardware into a Famicom shell. That's what he should do.
It's almost like it's entirely pointless to do.
But the thing is, like, to tell you the truth, I appreciate those people, though. I love, especially our fans who are writing in, who are asking about whether you can do this on the NES. It is interesting. It is interesting to know whether it's possible. For me, it's not worth the time, but that's also because I am terrible at doing anything modification-y.
And you also live in Japan where you have Famicoms readily available, and it's a lot harder to get an NES.
For me, it's more interesting, like, can I use an American power pad on my Famicom?
I mean, something I did do though is you sent me some other things I haven't recorded, you know, including multiplayer stuff. Cause it's like, well, that's a question. It's like, apart from three players, can you do more than three players on a Famicom? And the answer is yes.
We have a lot of, I think I just realized the problem with Famicom Dojo, Sean.
It's too much to do.
Well, it's too much to do. There's too, you know, do you remember early on in the show, we were really, really worried that we'd run out of stuff to talk about?
That was almost 8 years ago? Yeah.
Yeah. Really, luckily, we didn't realize that the pace we'd go was so glacial. But no. No, there's just so much stuff. There's so much stuff. But some of the stuff is quite expensive. And I think the main problem with Famicom Dojo is we do build up these very nice game collections, but for the most part, the videos don't make as much money coming in as what it costs to actually get the things that are used for research for the videos.
Not with that attitude, they don't. Yet. I think the yet is the part.
Yet. Oh, no. I mean, Famicom Dojo will obviously make millions of dollars in the future.
Obviously.
Once we reach our tipping point. Have you read Tipping Point yet?
No, I don't think. Oh, have I read it? Yeah, I don't know if I read the whole thing yet, but I read at least half of it. I might have read the whole thing at this point. It's really interesting, but it's like, yeah, it's not like a handy book about how to get to the tipping point. Just like, this is how it usually happens for people.
Yep. So we got to figure out that. And maybe one of you guys, one of you listeners will be our tipping point. So right. If you like what we do, share, retweet. Favorites are fine, but retweets are better.
Yep. If you like something, let people know you like it. Like, if you just share the love. It's like, this thing is great. Listen to it or
share,
watch it.
And enjoy.
Share and enjoy in that order. Share first, then enjoy.
Yeah, share it.
Brilliant and then, marketing.
And then if you like it, share it again.
So the other miss we had, and fortunately yes. This is just like in a vlog on the other channel.
Ooh.
But so we did, and we did talk about these videos already, but we didn't hear until later what was going on here. I had done one about the Wii to Wii U identity transfer.
Oh yes.
And then to go with that, I did a vlog about why you shouldn't do it. And one of my contentions, and this is way back when this stuff was first out, and a lot of my points were knocked down. One of my remaining complaints was that you could not transfer your Miis from the Wii to the Wii U without either sending them to a friend first, which you can't do anymore, over the internet, but you could use the controllers and like use someone else's Wii to do the transfer and then bring them back over from the Wii to your, from the Wii U to your Wii U.
Yes.
Apparently there is another method. And I'm beating myself up over this one because I did research it, but not well enough. Apparently, I had heard that there was a way to hook up a 3DS to the Mii Maker, and it involved a weird button combination. And I tried it; nothing happened. And I was like, "This is BS. I'm done." Because like the instructions weren't, that I found for the source, weren't very good, and I tried it and I was finished. This one of these commenters, and I'm really sorry that I cannot find the comment.
Okay.
It's probably on that vlog. I just got to look a little harder. But he linked directions from Nintendo's website on how to do it. So I'm like, okay. Basically, you have to you have to go into Mii Maker on your 3DS and like go into a certain mode to like connect to your Wii.
Uh-huh.
And then on the Wii, you do have to do that crazy button combination, but it's not like a simultaneous push. You have to go in sequence. Like, I think it's like A, B, 1, and then 2 and hold. And if you hold it long enough, it will bring up a menu. And then you just do a connection between the two systems. Like, there'll be prompts and stuff. Like, your Wii will be discoverable, and the 3DS will be able to see the Wii, or vice versa, one of the two, I forget which, and then you're connected. And so I got this to work. This is a legit thing. And it's so frustrating, because after you do this, there will, I don't know if it's always there or just until you turn the power off, so I have to test this, but after you do this, there will be an option in the Mii Maker, you know, on the sides, to have a 3DS connection. And I'm like, why the hell, if this is a feature, don't they have that just enabled right away? Like, whenever they added that, why isn't it just always there? And
I don't know. Probably because most people are like me and don't care at all.
But if it's available, even if you can't use it, why wouldn't it just be there? It's like, it's like this kind of dovetails to the whole Excitebike thing, because it's like, you know, why can't I load my tracks after I save them? You know, it's this weird, we're like trying to go too far the other direction. This is how the sausage is made, ladies and gentlemen. Like, if you don't, some of our outrage that seems to be like scripted and acted on the show is real outrage.
Oh, yeah.
Like we think that these old games are the only ones that have these weird decisions that are made. But like, clearly the more current generations have just as strange decisions. So I think we're going to do a follow up on that, too. It's a lot more straightforward. But I also at the same time don't want to like spend, because our third thing that we want to do is the tennis method for the Mario carts, the Mario cartridges, the minus.
Okay.
This is the first time we got told that we had missed something. And it's like, well, we didn't miss it. We didn't want to include it in our video because it was not in the scope.
Yeah, because that video was already what seemed like an eternity at the time. It was a 15-minute video.
And Data Recorder was even longer.
And at the time, we thought we were extensively covering the Minus World. And I still believe that we did, because we covered it we showed exactly the whole thing that you're able to do without possibly breaking your hardware.
Right.
You know, I mean, without actually, you know, doing a physical, you know, change, because the tennis trick involves hot swapping a cartridge. That's what it involves. And they're both glitches, but one of them is one that you can do entirely in the software, you know. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. That's an important distinction, I think, because it's like you put in the game, you can use an exploit and you're done. Like I don't want to tell people something that will potentially damage their hardware.
But we'll do it for you.
Right. We'll do it for you. But like, this is something you can't do. Like, you can't like download Super Mario Brothers on the Wii U and do this.
Yeah, exactly. So I still think we did. We covered like the regular, you know, Minus World fairly extensively. But yeah, it was, you know, we're just sitting there, we're like, yeah, we just made the most complete comprehensive video about Minus World ever. And like comment one, it was like, what about the 256 Minus Worlds using the tennis card? And I'm like, grrr.
Or even potentially more interesting is you can do the same thing a little more reliably with Family Basic.
Yes. And you have an element of control there too.
Yep. So you can actually say, I want to go to world 128 every single time, and it'll work every single time, as opposed to trying to count your steps in tennis.
Yep.
Oh God.
Sean, have I told you I've been playing around with Famicom Basic a lot lately?
Yeah. I saw something you did.
Yes. My promo. Yeah.
That was good. You'll see it eventually.
Boys. Guys, we got a lot of stuff coming. But I'm actually figuring out. I've figured out how to make sound with it.
Oh, nice.
It's definitely different from AppleSoft Basic, which I learned on when I was a kid. But it's starting to come back to me. And I'm going to try to put together something, and we'll have that uploaded as a download for those who actually can have a data recorder and do that stuff.
I think the hardest part for me is trying to use that keyboard.
It is hard, and I'm not used to not having to push the shift button.
Oh, yeah, right? Ugh.
It's all uppercase the whole time, so it drives me nuts there.
But, I mean, you know, I think as a programmer, I should be able to figure it out, right? Right?
Probably. I would hope. It's actually very, very cool. Oh, speaking of.
Yeah.
Speaking of, this is very interesting. I'm hinting at a video because I'm using there's a book that I have about Famicom Basic, and it's talked about by Mario, but this book actually came out before Super Mario.
Oh,
and I think we're going to talk about this in the video, but one of the sample programs in this book is called Mario Land. But it has Mario on like a tropical island.
Wow.
This is before Super Mario came out.
Okay.
This is when he was only known from Donkey Kong, but the art that portrays Mario, he looks so different. It's very, very interesting.
It is interesting.
So, like, we've got so much cool stuff coming up. I'd say we got at least 5 episodes that are gonna hit for our Summer Dojo. And we're already working on that. Scripts are being finalized, and it's gonna be awesome. What video do you want to talk about that we've done? Do you want to talk about the Don't Blow It video?
Yeah, because that's the most recent one as of this recording. So
yes,
definitely. So people are probably curious about that one because. I mean, we tease it since the beginning, like in our sizzle reel for the promo. We released that like back in February,
long time ago.
And so it's just that that shot of you slapping the car out of my hand, which come to think of it, I'm not even sure is the same take as the one I eventually actually used for the video.
I don't think so, actually.
Yes, I think you're right. So that was very, so we've wanted to talk about not one into your cartridges for a long time, but we can never find an interesting way to do it.
This recording, it was so crazy because we had not intended to do this video
right
while I was there. You just had an idea while I was already in America. You sent me a script, right?
Yeah, so I think you're like, you know, we should do something while I'm here, and I'm like, oh God, what? So I think like literally on the way to one of the various Christmas things I had to do, I was like,
yeah,
pumping out this script.
Yes,
because my wife was driving the car,
and you sent it to me, and I mean, I remember I couldn't even access it because I didn't have internet for a few days, and I looked at it, and you'll notice how I apologize. I'm looking at the footage now, and I'm mugging for the camera and all this stuff. I don't know, because a lot of it was improvised because we had a basic idea of it, but we also, for a lot of these shots, only had like one take because we only had like 2 hours to do this whole thing.
Oh yeah, that's the story behind this. So, this was during football season. It was a Sunday, the only day that you ended up having available. There was a Packers game going on. So you'll notice, peeking underneath my hoodie is like an old school Packers, Acme Packers logo.
Yep.
And like in between takes and some of the outtakes, like we'll show this eventually, but, in between the outtakes, I'm like checking the score of the game. And like Rodgers was hurt and like he had to go out cause it was an ankle injury and like put in Flynn for the end of the game. I don't remember which game this was against. December, right? So it wasn't the playoffs yet.
No,
but but like should I mention your chauffeur?
Yeah, because I mean I don't have a car here, and I don't know, I haven't really driven in America for a long time, so my dad was gonna come up with me because and he was just gonna watch the game while we filmed on Sean's TV. I guess he was my chauffeur. In retrospect, I should have just driven up myself, you know. But I was a little nervous because I hadn't driven in winter time for 12 years and never in that city, you know. Yeah. Whereas my dad goes there all the time and knows the area. But
yeah, unfortunately for him, the only TV we had in the house was in the rooms that we were recording.
Yes.
So, I mean, I could have set him up with headphones and had him look at the TV and stuff, but there was a shot where we needed to sit on the couch in front of that TV.
Yeah.
But like, apart from that, I also don't have cable. So I could have set him up elsewhere in the house with the TV, but I only have an antenna, which isn't like a very strong one. It's not powered or anything that. So like the only room we could set them up in, I'm also in a duplex. So, the part of the house that we live in doesn't face the station. So we couldn't get a signal downstairs where he was.
Half of the filming of the Don't Blow It video was us trying to get a football game on a television. So eventually my dad, yeah, wound up listening to the game in his idling car.
Around the corner.
Like driving around, yeah.
Oh God. So we had that whole pressure trying to get this thing put out, and so you'd have to watch the outtakes to see kind of like the evolution of each shot that we did. Like we'd walk through it once. Figure out all the little nuances, and you throw something in there here and there, especially because we're both on camera at the same time.
Yeah, and, which is weird. We never are, you know.
Like one of us has to do something while the other one's talking, and it's not in the script anywhere, so we had to improvise.
There's this one part where it was like, You were talking about the concentration of the alcohol, and I start gesturing that I'm concentrating, but I didn't know where I was supposed to look. I didn't know if I was supposed to look at you. So on part of it, it looks like I'm bored, which actually kind of goes well with it because you're droning on for a little while, and I'm kind of like, but really, I'm just wondering where my focal point's supposed to be.
Sure, sure, and we don't have time to like figure it out. You know, like we're not going to be there for hours and hours. I think we said it was going to take like 90 minutes, and it might have taken like 2 hours or something like that.
Yeah.
And so we just had to like go bang, 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 bang through this whole thing. And I think it still came out pretty well despite that. But yeah, I guess there were a couple of times when I wish we had some other take to use, but I worked around it pretty well, I think.
Yep.
Especially now, for the time I had.
Now I recorded some footage at obviously airports to try to represent those scenes. The first couple clips that I recorded, I had no specific idea what I was going to use those for.
Right.
I just wanted to have them because I figured we'd record something, and I thought it would be funny to have the, you know, me coming over there footage. But the thing is, because I didn't know what exactly we were going to do, and I also didn't realize that we were going to link it with any of the videos, I realized that I had a beard later on, but I didn't in the earlier footage I'd taken. So that's where that joke comes from.
Right, right. And yeah, I think it gave you like some baseline stuff. It's like I mentioned the idea of you coming over.
Yep.
Like in a hurry and doing something, but we didn't know what that something was going to be yet. So I was just like, if you can like sit up like, you know, in the airport and like play your 3DS or on the plane try and take these shots. And that's all you had to go on.
But like, you know, it was the day and I had a beard, so we had to do that. But it actually meant that some of the footage of me like getting the Q-tips and stuff was recorded after I'd already returned to Japan. So I had to take one for the team and get rid of the beard, just like you had to do very recently.
I don't know what you mean. That was me from 1999.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
If you guys don't know what that's from, that is an old video, a non-Famicom Dojo one that I did for the Dreamcast's 10th anniversary in 2009.
Come on, move that to Famicom Dojo. Come on.
All right. I think it could use a little sprucing up in that case. But you know at the time in 2009, it was like, you know, Powit's heyday and everything. This wasn't even a Powit video necessarily, but I was trying to like just do stuff I thought was interesting. And this is like a skit, you know, it wasn't really an information about the Dreamcast. It was just a joke, one long extended joke about how in 1999, I didn't appreciate the Dreamcast and I wanted to play Smash Brothers instead.
Yep.
And then, only when I was introduced to Samba de Amigo did I really start to like get into the other games that were available for it. And as soon as I was able to get my own Dreamcast, it was discontinued.
So
the video is me in the future, in the present, I guess, 2009, like, you know, wondering why the hell I didn't appreciate this console more when it came out. And like, I go back to that joke where I just walk off camera and then walk back into the first scene of the video and smack myself in the head. And that's the whole thing.
I remember. I mean, when my first time in Japan, we were probably acquaintances at best at that point. You know what I mean? We knew each other, but
2001.
We barely hung out. But I remember that I used up almost an entire calling card talking to you on the phone from Japan, trying to convince you to buy a Dreamcast.
Right. Right.
Because I remember you were on the phone with Ben.
Yep.
And he's like, Sean's thinking of getting a PlayStation 2. And I'm like, let me through. I was going to try to convince you to get a Dreamcast. And then his card stopped. So I think I called you back with one of my cards.
Well, I mean, it worked because I did via Dreamcast. And I didn't get a PS2 until 2004 when it was already almost dead. So
yeah, that's when I got mine too. But anyway, that's
where that joke comes from. So I figured, you know, we're doing Smash Brothers. There's the multiple Mii's thing, and I'm like, all right, we'll bring back the Dreamcast one. So
oh my god, there's so much ad libbing in that. The whole thing about tripping, you were just like Kevin talk about something, and I'm like, ugh.
That was, yeah, you, in the bit at the end where you screamed, there's multiple yous in your house, or something like that. It was like that, there was a take of, where I didn't know that was going to happen, and like, I had already broken character at that point, and I was just cracking up as you were doing it, and it was a good take, but like, I ruined it because I didn't stay in character, because I thought we were done.
Yeah, well, yeah, that was just kind of thrown in. The same with the, what you talk about, Sean?
Yep, use that one too.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I think that whole thing with the talking console bit,
yeah,
that like that you were like kind of like fumbling around for it and like trying to look into it, like how does this work?
Yeah.
Like that was all on the fly, like that wasn't in the script. Like
No, not at all.
We had the talking consoles in the script, I think, but we didn't have you. I think you said like, who said that? Like, but you weren't going to do anything else after that. But then we're like, oh, it'd be fun if you did something, because you were trying to find something to do, I think, right?
Yeah.
While I was talking, and that was
I had
great.
No idea what my blocking was supposed to be during that. So yeah.
So this it was a lot of fun to do. I just wish we had more time.
It comes out very natural because I mean we weren't able to edit. So when I'm talking about the pins or later, you can tell that I'm kind of distracted when I'm talking about the cleaning kit.
Because
I was trying to remember what was going to come next.
Yeah, that we had a really hard time with that sequence. And it's easy for me to remember the stuff because I can like watch all the old takes that didn't work.
Yeah.
But we were having a really hard time with it because there was a lot to say, but we couldn't remember everything, you know.
So we just there were just too many lines and we didn't have time to memorize them because they'd only been written that morning.
Yeah, like I was writing that script as you were on your way over, and I think I had just finished it up when you showed up.
So for a lot of that, we didn't have time to memorize, and we didn't want to just be reading it, so we tried to get the gist of it. And for the most part, it worked. Little bit awkward, but that video just came out really silly. I gotta say that I mean, one of the main criticisms we get is that we take twice as long to say something as needs to be said. Like, we could have just shown it, but we have to do all these pauses and jokes and I'm just like, people are gonna hate this video because this is a 9-minute video with 1 minute of content.
Yeah, pretty much, right? Like, but it I feel like it's the only way we could have made the subject interesting.
I it's definitely one of the silliest videos we've made, and I'd love some feedback for that. So everyone listening, do you like the ones that are a little wackier like that, or we get some pretty mixed signals because one of the best viewed videos from our Winter Dojo is the one where neither Sean or I is in it.
Yeah, the second best viewed video is yep. what are you gonna do?
Yeah, but I gotta say, I think Winter Dojo went very well. Got lots of new subscribers, lots of people. I hope some of the people listening to this podcast right now are new as well. I hope that transferred over. And if you are new to this podcast, welcome. And please send us some questions. The Denshi Mail part of this podcast is made better by your questions.
I think it gave us a solid B- for the Winter Dojo.
Solid B-.
I was thinking maybe a B, maybe, but like I feel like those misses kind of, I mean, we're going to have some good content that comes out of it, I think, but
oh yeah.
One of my favorites, well, this wasn't part of the Winter Dojo, but one of my favorites is a gag. I'm hoping we can really pull off well for the tennis thing. But the stuff you wrote for Load Runner was pretty good. Like, I laughed, especially at the very end, because it just comes full circle. It's a good joke. Good times. I think it's a problem that we had going from like season one.
Yeah.
Beyond, like we had to morph what the show meant, and especially when we didn't want to do the 16-bit stuff exclusively anymore, we had to really think hard, because the 3D system special went over so well. Like it was at least initially more popular than the other season two stuff we had done.
Yeah.
And we're like, well, what the hell are we even doing?
Exactly.
if this is what people want to see. And it was, the format was so different.
So different.
Was
it that different?
It was. I think it bore the most resemblance to the Microphone Roundup episode we did.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's been used as kind of a template from then on, where we're talking about a piece of hardware and then like the games that go with it. So I think like a Data Recorder follows that model.
I'd say so. Yeah.
Even though it was about a game, there did many variations of it, and the Minus World video as a result kind of followed that model as well.
We're using tons of different systems and stuff like
that. Yeah. So that's a really good format for that kind of historical information, I think. But when you do that, there's a lot to talk about, and then occasionally you missed. Like if you didn't watch it, I did a really brief follow up with the the PlayChoice 10. Super Mario Brothers to confirm the Minus World and that, where I would just happen to be at an arcade in Portland where I found one. And like, that was an off the cuff thing too. And my friend Sabrina, like, did something with the camera, and she had the idea of like, I think it'd be funny if like I saw myself in the reflection and tried to move out of the shot. And I'm like, good, do that. So good. So good.
Oh, what's that going to be used for?
What? Didn't you see it?
Is that on the other channel?
Yes, it is.
Wah, wah, wah.
No, I put that up last summer.
Oh my gosh, I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it? All right, I'm gonna send you a link.
Oh my gosh. I gotta stop complaining about our fans not watching all our videos.
Right? Yeah, it was confusing, right? Because we have the two channels now. So
yeah.
So that's something else, guys. So I want to know what you think about our Winter Dojo, of course, and our upcoming stuff, but. We do have the problem where like we put up the promos on the old channel and people are like, I can't wait for this to come out. Some of you are joking, but some of you genuinely don't realize that there's another channel out there. And so we've had to like kind of correct people one by one. And that's part of the reason we had those other vlogs, is to be like, hey, watch our Famicom Dojo videos over here and then come back to this. But, if you want us to move that content over and like do that for the Famicom Dojo channel instead, I think
that's
doable.
It's not going to be really moving. It's going to be more like replicating.
Yeah, we'll be doing. We can put that stuff up there instead.
Yeah.
Those vlogs don't have the same tail. Like our Famicom Dojo videos are like evergreen products. Like if we do nothing, they will get hits.
Yeah.
And like the top 20, 30 videos on the That's Orange channel are Famicom Dojo videos to this day. Like if I do a vlog, it'll stay in that range somewhere, but after a month or two, after it's out, it'll be gone again.
Yeah.
So they're fun to do. They're much, much easier to record. And they're interesting, I think. But just by virtue of the way it's done and the content, I don't think it doesn't have the staying power, but I still like them a lot. So if we do DVD releases, we'll definitely include them.
Let me pimp our Facebook a little bit right here. Because I know some people are very anti-Facebook, and that's one of the reasons I did Dojo Snacks, but, if you are on Facebook, please subscribe to our channel, because just since the Winter Dojo has wrapped up, there's been two additional Dojo Snacks put up there that are not found on the YouTube channel.
So good.
And some of them might be making it to. I consider the ones I put on YouTube the best of ones, but some of them, just because of the length or how they're shot, don't work so well on a compilation. So. If you really want to see everything. Now, some people who even are subscribers missed them because, you know, they might not be bumped into your feed. But just go to the Famicom Dojo channel and click videos.
Right.
And that's where you can find them all.
Yeah, because we do have playlists on the front. And then there's like suggested videos that they have there. Oh, wait, sorry. On Facebook. Right. Sorry. Yes. Yeah. If you want to find them, we do have a videos tab. Oh man.
All right. And, please continue sharing. When you guys share, it really helps us out. If you see an episode you like, don't just, it's great. We usually get about 50 like hits on Facebook, but if we can get some shares, that that helps way more.
Absolutely. And if there's a gaming website that you like to go to that you think, you know, they're always hungry for stories, you might want to send them one of your favorite Famicom Dojo videos. I'm just saying.
Okay, that's fine. Another thing I want to do, one of our comments came in about people were really surprised on the Twin Famicom video, the Turbo File video, that Wizardry contains English on it.
Right.
They were asking if there's more games like that. There are.
There was a whole wonderful series dedicated to this phenomenon.
Yes, there was. There was. I'm not talking so much about games that are playable without sure. knowing Japanese, but ones that actually did contain Japanese in it. And there were. And there still are. And actually, a lot of them are Wizardry games. The Sega Saturn Wizardry game actually has full English translation in it, despite it never being released in America. There's tons and tons of videos like this. And frankly, I think that might get slipped into the Summer Dojo, so stay tuned.
Oh my goodness. Oh, how big is this going to get?
I'm counting six right now. So I
think like the Winter Dojo, this summer is going to creep quite well into the fall at this point.
I got to say, Sean, now that I'm thinking about how many videos we've got to do, I think you should postpone the birth of your next baby.
I'll let my wife know. I'm sure she'll
be
fine.
Okay, let her know, because... once we get some of this, you know, some of this all filmed and stuff, you know, then yeah, she can give birth, you know. But until then, I think the timing is off. So,
all right, and with that, I think we're good. Thanks again, everyone, for watching and listening. It's been a wonderful experience. We are clearly quite happy to do more.
Yes,
and we will see you next week with something.
Yep. And in 2 weeks, we'll be back again with another Denshi Mail. So if you have any questions, leave them for us before that. And we didn't have time to talk today, but we're going to talk about some of the guest stars that appeared in our data recorder video.
We should have them on the show again.
I think that would be a good idea. Let's try to arrange that.
I've already mentioned to both of them that we would like them on. So.
Excellent. Excellent. So that would be excellent if we could do that. So stay tuned for guest stars and more fun with Famicom Dojo.
Famicom Dojo.
If you enjoyed this episode, please visit our show notes at famicomdojo.tv and leave a comment. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or our RSS feed. Rate and leave a comment on our free iTunes storefront, or call us at 608-492-1923 to share your thoughts. Follow Famicom Dojo on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube to train your game. And visit littlepodcast.com to sponsor an episode or listen to any of the other great shows on the Little Podcast Network.